الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, there is no new reminder for us in this month about the might and power, status of the Holy Quran. Time and time again throughout this month, we are reminded of its power and its might, of its greatness, of its divinity, by the mere fact that within our gathering today, in our vicinity here, we have individuals in these closets reading from the Holy Quran, from the actual text. We have those reading who have memorized the Holy Quran without looking into the Quran off by heart. We can see a brother reciting there. So we can learn about the power and the might of the Holy Quran from just these signs. We don't have to have other signs, but because of human nature, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions human nature to be weak. وَخُلِكَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Lots of different weaknesses of human beings have been categorized by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and described in the Holy Quran. Human needs reminder. In fact, we learn from our pious predecessors that if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was not even to send Anbiya alayhim as-salatu salam, if He was not even to send the divine books that we've received, the Holy Quran and the previous books that were given to the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu salam, He has put in the intellect, in the mind, such intelligence that it can understand and comprehend that there is only one Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But still, the favors and the benevolence and the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is such over mankind that He constantly wants him to go towards goodness and wants to save him from treachery and ills. We amongst ourselves are so lucky to have the greatest of all the divine books. Altogether, somewhere in the region of about 90 scriptures have been mentioned in the sources of Islam. We know the well-known sources are the Tawrat, the Injil, the Zabur, which preceded the Holy Quran. But within the Holy Quran, we have the embodiment of the entire divine messages given by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to mankind. And it is immutable. It cannot be changed. It is unique, it is miraculous in all its senses. If we were to attribute miracles to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we would say that there are so many hundreds and thousands of miracles that we can attribute to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If we want to talk about the historic miracle, then we can say that the historic miracle of the Prophet ﷺ, out of many, one of the greatest is the hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. Such a historic event that you will see voluminous works written just on this journey, which just took a few days to complete. And that we can term as a historic miracle. If you want to talk about a heavenly miracle, then we will talk about the miracle of Mi'raj. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken from Masjid al-Aqsa to the seven skies and even above. That is what we can describe as the heavenly miracle. If we want to talk about the human miracle, we can give you the example, or we can take the example of Hind bint Utbah radiallahu ta'ala anha, who when she didn't embrace Islam, she wanted to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every way. And she says, the most hated house in my eyes before the advent of Islam was your house, the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring to him, that I wanted all sorts of harm to come to your house. But now, this is the human miracle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. His house became the most beloved house to Hind bint Utbah radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is the transformation. This is the miraculous nature. And when we want to talk about the living miracle, we will talk about the Holy Quran. Which aspect can we discuss of its miraculous nature? The list is endless. If we just talk about its language, its glorious, eloquent language, we will learn that no other scripture has its language remaining. You will find them in the archives today. If we look at the language of the Bible, if we look at the languages of all the scriptures, all the known scriptures, they do not exist today within the population. But the Arabic language is talked and recited by over a billion people even in this particular era. That is just one aspect of its miraculous nature. It is so precise. It will provide you with the minutest detail. We may not be able to comprehend it when we are reading and studying the Quran, whether we are reading without understanding and comprehension, or whether we are studying it with the intention of understanding it. Still, sometimes things may not come to our notice. One aspect that I want to allude to at this particular moment in time is the term that the Quran uses for the leader of the people at the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And that person is noted as Malik in the Quran. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ تُونِي بِهِ. Those people who are memorizers of the Quran and who are huffaz of the Quran, they will know where this is. I can probably refer to somebody and they will tell me where it is exactly. And Malik is referred to the leader of the person in charge of the community at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's time. And we learn about the entire surah of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from the beginning to the end. This same person is referred to in the Old Testament as well. And this person is noted as Pharaoh, Fir'aun. Now when we analyze history, when we study history properly, we will learn that 200 years after Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that is when the title of Fir'aun was given to the rulers of Egypt. Every ruler prior to that period was not known as Fir'aun. And the Quran has it 100% correct. It doesn't use the term Fir'aun. At that time, at the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, yes, we can say that the ruler was known as Fir'aun. It's a title, like the king and queen today we have. Another person will come in the place of Elizabeth, that person will be known as either a queen or a king. That title will remain. So the same title for the leader of Egypt was Fir'aun, but it started 200 years after Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran has it exactly right. It doesn't mention the term Fir'aun, but it says, Qala al-Malik, the ruler. Whereas in the Old Testament, we will see that the title which is mentioned is Fir'aun, and that is an anachronism, something which is placed somewhere where it does not belong. So again, the accuracy of the Quran. This is another miraculous nature of the Quran, that every single aspect of it is preserved in its pristine form. In fact, when the Prophet ﷺ used to read the Holy Quran and he used to mention about the past stories, the scriptures and the people who had knowledge of their scriptures, they did not even have that type of exact information which the Quran was putting forward. That's one of its miraculous natures. Not only did the Quran give information of the past peoples and past communities, but it even gave information about the future. Exactly how it would happen. Alif Lam Mim, Ghulibat Ar-Rum. The Surah Ar-Rum is a great example. We learn that the Romans were defeated by the Persians. The Muslims were supporting the Romans. The Kuffar of Quraysh and the Meccans and the Kuffar of Arabia, they were supporting the Persians. When the Romans were defeated, the Quran predicted that within a maximum of 10 years, the Romans will be victorious again over the Persians. This was prophesied, this was informed to the people by the Quran at such a time where the intelligence and imagination could not think that the Romans would become victorious again within a short period of time, the maximum given 10 years. In fact, everybody thought that this would not happen. If we look at the books of history, we will learn within 9 years the Romans were victorious again over the Persians. That is one of the greatest, one of the miracles of the Holy Quran. The people were ready to give everything to prove that this would never happen. They were ready to put their houses at stake. This can never happen. They never had the means, they never had the power, they never had the strength. It could not be possible. How could the Romans be victorious? They were just crushed by the Persians. But the Quran prophesied in this chapter in the Surah Ar-Rum, "Fi adna al-ardi wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaklibun fi bid'i sinin." And we look at the term bid'i sinin, it refers to no more than 10 years. Another aspect of its miraculous nature. Any book, you look at it, you will read it once. If it is a bestseller, if it is given a prize, a Nobel Prize, then you could probably read the book 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, you could enjoy it, maximum 10 times. After that you won't be able to read it. But the Holy Quran is such a book, you can read it hundreds and thousands of times, but you still will not get tired of it. This is another aspect of its miraculous nature. Forget a novel, anything. Today if you look at the video film, a TV film, you probably watch it once or twice and you will say, a fantastic film. You could probably boast to your friends and say, I saw this film 3 times. It's fantastic. Did you see the way the actor, the main actor, was acting in the film? It was fantastic. I saw that film 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. But after that, the interest goes. But the Holy Quran, you read it time and time and time again, you will not get tired of it. That is another miraculous aspect of the Holy Quran. And another thing is, not only the reciter of the Holy Quran is affected by the recitation of the Quran, but anybody in that vicinity, in that place, will also be affected, and it will have an impact on that person. Just take the example of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His mission is one. That is to go to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and ensure that he kills the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam before he embraced Islam. He is very angry. He wants to complete his mission. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam beforehand made a supplication. He supplicated to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he asked that, oh Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, through either one of the two Amrs, the other one was Abu Jahl or Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, give Islam power and strength. So this is Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu going to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the intention to harm him. When he is on his way, he is told by somebody that your own sister, why don't you go there before you go to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and see what is happening there. He goes, and when he goes to see his sister, he sees that his sister and her husband, they are reciting the Quran. They try to quickly hide the Quran. He gets angry, he slaps his sister. His sister starts to bleed, and that's when he becomes cool slightly. He lost his temper in the beginning. That's when he decides to cool down. And at that time, he starts to read what was laid down in front of his sister and her husband. And he starts to read the verses of Taha. Taha ma anzalna alaykal Qur'ana litashka. And the first few verses of Taha, this is enough for him to embrace Islam. These people, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would have given anything to ensure that he was defeated. They would have given their lives. They would have given their entire wealth. But you have not only one example, but many examples of these leading men, Abu Jahl, and the leading people within their tribes and within their community, going in the middle of the night, listening to the Holy Quran being recited, and they would not leave until sunset. And they would confess amongst themselves, saying and proclaiming that this is not a word and a book of a magician, but this is divinely inspired. So dear respected brothers and elders, these are some of the miraculous aspects of the Holy Quran. And as a result, we see that this holy book has been revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is studied all the time, 24 hours a day. Somewhere in the world, the Holy Quran will either be recited or it will be studied. It is such a magnificent book. It is such a glorious book. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that this Quran was offered to the heavens and the earth, but the heavens and the earth declined to accept it, but it was accepted by human being. In another verse we learn, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشئاً متصدئاً من خشية الله. That if this Quran was to be revealed to a mountain, the mountain would be completely destroyed. The Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we learn about the modes of revelation, we have these ulama-i kiram who have just recently graduated. They will tell you the different modes of revelation as is described by Imam Bukhari Rahmatullahi Alayhi in his Sahih and in the other ahadith works. The Prophet ﷺ used to receive different modes of inspiration. Sometimes Jibreel ﷺ would come to him in the form of a human being. Lihiyatul Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, would come and reveal to the Prophet ﷺ what Allah wanted him to reveal. This was the easiest mode of revelation. But when we see other types of revelation, we also have this in the hadith of Jibreel, the well-known hadith about Iman and Islam and Ihsan, known as hadith Jibreel. If we look at the works of hadith, we will know that this is a very important hadith. It explains to us the fundamentals of Iman. Although this does not comprise part of the Holy Quran, but it is a mode of revelation and inspiration given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where a man came to the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. Nobody knew what he was, where he came from, who he was. There was no sign of traveling on him. And then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked him about the fundamentals of Islam. He asked him what Islam was. He asked him what Iman was. He asked him what Ihsan was. The Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam would answer. And then he mentions signs of Qiyamah, etc. And then he leaves. Then the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam asked the audience, the Sahaba who were around him, and he said, "Do you know who had just come?" They said, "No." He said that was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He came to teach you your religion. So this was a mode of inspiration and wahi that used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and it was the easiest form. We learn about another one, which is described as mithla salsalatil jaras, the chiming of bells. And this would be the hardest on him. It would have such an impact on him that on a cold day, his perspiration would be coming from his body. It would be dripping all over his body. And if he would be traveling on an animal, the animal, due to the force of the revelation and inspiration, would sit down. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once he mentions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting on his thigh and the revelation started to come to him. And it was this type, when this type of revelation started to come, he thought that his leg was going to snap due to the force of revelation. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to show anxiety and interest in comprehending and memorizing the Holy Quran. And that is another aspect of its miraculous nature. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, time and time again, has been described as ummi, the unlettered, the uneducated, someone who did not have a formal mode of education. He did not go through the educational system. Today we have so many different courses. We have Maulana here who is doing a political science degree. We have somebody here doing a social science degree. We have people going into different fields. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the type of education that was prevalent there, the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam did not participate in any of the systems there. He was known as the unlettered. But still, even though he was known as the unlettered, not only him known as the unlettered, but his people, his Sahaba, were also known as the Ummiyun, the uneducated and the unlettered. Baladuri in Futuhul Buldan mentions that at the time of Islam, there were only 16 or 17 people who could read and write in Makkah Mukarramah. And then we have this aspect of its miraculous nature, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived his life in Makkah Mukarramah. He did not travel there. Whatever he did is recorded in the books of history. He traveled twice with his uncle on business trips to help him. And some have asserted unjustifiably, unlawfully, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a few days comprehended the entire religion from Buhayra, and then he produced it as the religion of Islam. But that is not possible within a few days. In fact, few hours. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a long time he spent in Makkah Mukarramah, in Medina Munawwara, he was uneducated, he had no formal education, but at the same time he is coming out with this glorious Quran, and so eloquent. And although these people were uneducated, but they had eloquence of speech, known in Arabic as Fasaha and Balaga. They were very eloquent. They were able to memorize their lineage, even lineages of their animals. We also have information of that in the literature that has come to us. So the eloquence was there. But still, even though the Quran put the challenge forward that if you can bring anything like the Quran, bring it, they could not bring anything. They had the eloquence of speech. They were very eloquent. Now, today we have two different types of languages within ourselves. I don't refer to the accents. Obviously, a person from Scotland will have a wee bit different accent, and a person from London will have a full accent. You know, we've got all different types of accents. But what I'm talking to is the actual speeches. We have the more eloquent speech, which takes grammar into consideration, and is the other language is known as the street language. So they were very eloquent. In fact, we learn that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Bedouins, the people who used to live in the desert, they used to be very eloquent in their speech. And the people of the city used to send their children to the desert, so to ensure that their speech can become more eloquent. The children can be brought up in such a way where they talk very eloquently. So these people were very eloquent, not only the Muslims, but the people who had not embraced Islam, they were very eloquent. The Quran challenges them, but not one person could come up with anything credible to match the Holy Quran. That is another miraculous nature of the Holy Quran. They could have done it. One might say, okay, they did it, but we haven't got a record. It is impossible if we have got records of everything. In fact, Islamic record is such that every single thing is mentioned in the Holy Quran. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a mistake in recitation, that is also mentioned in the Quran. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a mistake in his salah and he offered an extra salah, or he shortened his salah, that is documented and chronicled in the literature that is available to us. So in fact, Islam is so unique and so great that the mentioning and the names of the disbelievers like Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, who later embraced Islam, and Umayyah bin Khalf, Abu Lahab, and all these great Makkans, their names are only mentioned because of the great name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Islam. So everything is recorded. So this objection would be worthless, because if there was anything credible, the non-believers would ensure that it would be brought into the limelight and into the public domain, and it would have been with us. But because nothing is credible, nothing was worth putting forward. In fact, we learned that these people, they used to go themselves in the darkness of the night, and they used to listen to the eloquence and the beauty of the Holy Quran. So these are just some of the miraculous aspects of the Holy Quran. Up till now, alhamdulillah, we have been blessed by the beautiful recitation of our Aimmah Kiram in the Taraweeh prayer. We also have been getting the privilege of reciting the Holy Quran, hopefully. The only thing we've got to do is try and intensify our recitation of the Quran. If we are reciting the Holy Quran and we have the understanding, then we must try and understand the Quran with the eminent scholars that we have at our disposal. We must try and intensify and increase our activities in relation to the Quran. If we're reading one juz every day, then we should increase it to two juz. I do not want to tell you about how our Kabirin used to recite the Holy Quran in the holy month of Ramadan. You will have heard it from the pious scholars here. But our efforts will look nothing compared to them. But this is just the beginning. Ramadan is a time when we start our activities. It should carry on after Ramadan al-Mubarak. As I said, a Hafiz al-Quran, it is compulsory on him to read at least three juz of the Holy Quran every day, not in the month of Ramadan. At least three. I remember when I was studying in Darul-Uloom, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib, he asked me, how much do you recite every day? And I thought to myself, I would say three juz, and he will be happy with me. So I said, I read three juz every day, Hazrat. So he says, that is the bare minimum. That is the bare minimum. There are so many examples of people reading the complete Quran every single day, not in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan. He referred to a businessman when he was giving a speech on his African visits. He said that once I heard a young person reciting the Holy Quran so eloquently and so beautifully, I asked him, how comes you are reciting so eloquently and beautifully? He explained to me, I am a salesman, I am a businessman. In the morning I leave my house, what I do is I start with the recitation of the Surah Al-Fatiha, and then I go on to Surah Al-Baqarah, and by the time I return after doing all my sales activities, in the evening, I have قُلْ أَوْذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ on my tongue. And once we increase our activities, inshallah, we will see more fruits and more barakah and blessings in our lives. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.